Brother Mike Hoggards. When I preached the other night, there were 1,300 people listening online. 1,300 people. Well, there'd be more people than that, but that was 1,300 people had checked in, were listening online. And a lot of interest in this type of thing. But I want to preach a message today out of the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to go to chapter 4, and I want to pick up the reading. Now, I'll be coming back to chapter 3 and chapter 4 next week. Next week, I'm going to preach on the subject of the cruelty of contempt. The cruelty of contempt. And I'm going to tell you something. This is a real life issue. It causes lots and lots of problems. Contempt is a word that's almost been taken out of the American vocabulary because of the attitude of the average American now. We don't realize the damage it does. I want to encourage you, the subject of contempt is a huge subject in the book of Nehemiah. It is an area of spiritual warfare. Be here next week for that. But this morning I want to preach on how and why the Bible and the Second Amendment are connected, and why, and help us understand how that the Bible is the source of our Second Amendment. You say, Reggie, why would you want to preach on the Second Amendment at church? Because, I'll get to that later. How about that? Verse 13, chapter 4 of the book of Nehemiah. Is everybody there? Say amen.
Amen.
Therefore said I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher places, I even set the people, notice the phrase. Now notice the word people. People. Did you know that word's in the Second Amendment? The right of the people. That just didn't come accidentally, folks. It came from a people who read their Bibles. Amen. The verbiage of the Second Amendment is biblical. The concept and precepts underneath it is biblical. I will prove that to you this morning to an honest heart. Then he said, after their families. Circle that in your Bible. I want to give you something this morning. God ordained the home and the family before he ever did the government. So every time you're reading something about government, you want to remember, go back to Genesis and remember that God ordained the home before he did government. So the principles of all this subject has to be based upon that fact, that God ordained the home first before he did government. Now, he said there, after their families. I would encourage you today to make that a special phrase to you. The people after their families. Now watch what he said. With whose swords? The people's swords. Whose? The family's swords. Their spears. Whose spears? The family spears. The people's spears. And their bows. Whose bows? The people's bows. You listen to me. Your Constitution, your Declaration of Independence, your Bill of Rights was founded upon this book, and I don't care. Don't you let no liberal steal that from you. He said, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Now here's what you need to get a hold of. He said, remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. Now let me tell you, the wisdom of Nehemiah is the same wisdom that David had. David had a weapon called a sling, which is the prototype of your guns and rifles. A sling shoots out a projectile. It is the early forerunner of a pistol or a rifle or a firearm, if you will. David made a statement, even though as he was going toward Goliath, he said this, the battle is the Lord's. There are two sides to this whole issue. One is that the battle belongs to God in the end. It's not by the strength of the horse, the Bible talks about, or the wisdom of man, but the battle is of the Lord. But at the same time, David didn't say, well, the battle's the Lord, so I'm going back to the tent. Now, did you get that? He recognized that he had a responsibility to fight personally. But he also realized that that fight must be accompanied by the presence and power of Almighty God and done in righteousness. He said, be ye not afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible. And now watch what he says to do to these families, to these people. Hey, now listen to me. He did not say to the United States Army. He didn't say to the Israeli army here. And I'm going to show you this morning that your biblical forefathers knew the difference between a militia and a standing army. A militia is not a standing army. The liberals are lying to you. They're trying to make you think that the militia is the army. That's a lie straight out of the bowels of hell. They no more thought that than you think you live on the moon this morning. A militia is a people, populated people that has armed and ready to stand to defend their homes, family, and their freedoms. It is in total diametric opposition to a standing army of a government. And they took that out of Europe and they understood that. They understood that standing armies would conquer any people that are disarmed. It had happened over and over and over, and people's freedom was stolen from them. Now he's saying here, he said, the Lord, you're great and terrible. And he said, fight for. Who's he telling to fight? Who is he telling to fight? Talk to me. The people and their families. He is saying, fight for who? Read your Bibles. For your brother. Oh, I guess you are up here. Have we got that up? Yeah. Fight for your brethren. Now who's next? Fight for who? Your sons. And your what? Your daughters. And the next? Your wives. And your houses. That's biblical. That's the King James authorized, the preserved word of God. Telling every man in his household that you have a personal responsibility to fight for, to protect, and to defend your families. This is Bible. I'll tell you right now, you've got a country full of preachers that's already been had their mind twisted by their liberal crowd, and they're afraid to preach this. They're afraid of offending people in the pulpit. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not going to let that cow me down. This is biblical. This, by the way, this is before you ever got the New Testament, and we're going to deal with your, oh, turn the other cheek deals pretty soon. We're going to deal with that. But I'm telling you this morning, we better get this back. It looks to me like this is being stolen from the hearts and minds of the American people. And so we're getting in this morning, we're going to reinforce this and rebuild these walls of the Second Amendment. Because I'm going to tell you something. When the Second Amendment goes, you won't get to worship like you want to. You won't hear preaching of the Bible. When they take that Second Amendment out and disarm this country, I am telling you they will come straight for the Bible-believing Christians. They'll come straight for us, and they'll tell you what you can preach, when you can preach, and how you can preach it. And they'll tell you what songs you can sing and when you can sing them. You mark my word, that's what they're doing in China. That's what they did in Russia. That's what they did in Germany. That's what they do anywhere where a tyrant takes over after he has disarmed the people. Now, God Almighty knows this. Now, we're going to get into why it's here. He said, you fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and house. Verse 15, it came to pass when our enemies heard, watch this now, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work. You know what he's saying there to you? He's saying this, once our enemies found out that we weren't disarmed, that we had arms, they started leaving us alone. The stupidest thing I can imagine to disarming the American people and telling the criminals, every house in town's open, have yourself a picnic, go for it. That's why we've got school shootings, because those clowns know there's nobody in there with a gun. This is a gun-free zone. Oh, that sounds so nice and pious, doesn't it? That's the stupidest thing you can ever do in your life. How many of you want to put on the driveway of your house, gun-free zone, criminals welcome? Why do we do that with our children at schools? Why are we telling our kids you got to live in a gun-free zone when the president has protectors, when every member of Congress has protectors, when the policemen have a pistol beside them, but we're supposed to be disarmed? That's lunacy, pure lunacy. It is not the NRA's fault that these school shootings occurred. It is the liberals' fault that these schools occurred, because that is liberal thought to disarm and have gun-free zones. Well, anyway, he said once they found out we was armed, instead they started leaving us alone. I'm going to guarantee you something right now. Some dude knows you packing. He ain't bothering you. He's going to go look for somebody that ain't packing. That's exactly right. By the way, as a result of, look what God did for them. God brought their counsel to naught. They was planning on them, but God said, through their arming and through their acknowledgement of God, he said, I brought all their plans to nothing. Now he said, verse 16, by the way, the Japanese before World War II had enough sense to know that. Was it Toto that said, you'll never invade America. There's a gun behind every blade of grass over there. He said, you can't invade America. Can I tell you this morning that there's 150 million gun owners in the United States of America? And if you had 500,000 invaders on both shores, that's 1 million invaders against 150 million gun owners. They're not going to do it as long as we're armed. But the moment we lay down our arms, they'll come charging in. Let me tell you something. Even the standing army of America, the standing army, Marines, Army, Air Force, all that Navy is about 1.5 million right now. Even if some president was to turn the entire armed forces of America against the people of America, you'd have 1,500,000 soldiers or Marines or whatever against 150 million armed citizens. Who wants to be in that fight? Yes, sir. And most of, as you're exactly right, most of them would flip and be on our side anyway. Verse 16, it came to pass from that time forth that half my servants, now watch this, half my servants wrought in the work, And the other half of them held both what? Spears. Now watch this. Spears, the shields, the bows, and the habergeons. Now you didn't want to get hit with one of them. What a mean little machine right there. And the rulers were behind all that. So what were they doing? Nehemiah said, I want you men armed. I want you armed. When you come to work, I found out this week that there was a law, and I'm not going to say what state it was. It might have been in two or three different states. But when the Puritans had come in this land and were settling, in some of the early state constitutions, listen to this, if you came to church without your arms, you would be fined 12 pence. That was a Puritan law. If you came to church and didn't bring your rifle, you were fined 12 pence. There are two states that had that law in early America. They said, if you come waltzing into church and didn't bring your musket, you will be fined 12 pence. We've come a long way, baby. We've come a long way. Now, he said in verse 17, they which build it on the wall, and they that bear burdens, and those that laid it, everyone, watch this, with one of his hands rod in the work, and the other hand held a weapon. Oh, I like that. There's a work in one hand, they had a weapon, the other hand, one hand they had the trowel or the hammer or whatever with a saw, and the other hand they had a weapon. Why did they do that? Because they had a bunch of people. We kind of jumped that. They had a lot of opposition, people that was going to kill them, that was going to drive them out of there and keep them from rebuilding the walls. And you better get this message. He said, verse 18, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side and so built it. What? Did you read that? He had his arms girded by his side and so built it. So you don't learn from that. We're going to build a work for God. You're going to build righteousness in this land. You better have your weapon out. There's two kinds of weapons. There's physical weapons. There's spiritual weapons. And we've got to have both of them. He said, he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles, the rulers, the rest of the people, the work is great and large. We're separated upon the wall, one far from another. Now here's where your founding fathers got the idea of the militia. What is a Minuteman? What was a Minuteman? Why did they call them Minutemen? They was ready in a minute. That's right. They might be plowing, and to be ready in a minute, they had to have their firearms close at hand. Here's where that understanding came from. He said, I said in the root and the rest of the work is great and large. He said, we're separated upon the wall, one far from another. In what place thereof you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort there unto us. Our God, look at how they shift this thing and keep God involved. Our God shall fight for us. We're going to go to battle with arms, physical arms, against the enemy, and our God shall fight for us. I heard this week, boy, I'm wanting to study Cromwell. Don't you let the liberals run Cromwell and these other men for you. Amen. But old Cromwell, he wouldn't let men cuss in his army. Did you know that Cromwell said he's the one who defeated Catholicism in England, why England has in their laws today that a Catholic cannot be the king of England? Cromwell said, he said, if you give me 50,000 men who love Jesus Christ, I will give you an army that will not be defeated, and he was never defeated. And you couldn't cuss in his army. You could not swear in his army. You had to be a man who loved Jesus Christ, and he sent his soldiers forth into battle singing praises unto Jesus Christ, and nobody ever whipped him. You know what he believed? He believed this book, that God would be with you, and you can't be cussing and whoremongering and all that junk and expect God to be with your armies. So we labored in the work, and half of them held the spears. No, they held the whistles and the mace. Blow the whistle. Somebody's coming. That's stupid. And we send our wives out with, pss, 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 pss. Honey, now you blow the whistle, somebody attacks you. That's right. Thank you, Brother Jim. I appreciate it. He said, half of them held the spears and arise in the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, said unto the people, let everyone with the servant lodge within Jerusalem in the night. They may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brother nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of them put off our clothes, saving for everyone then put off for washing. These men were serious about God. I want to talk to you this morning about the basis of the entire Bill of Rights. It's clearly to declare this. Number one, that God-given rights were given to men by their Creator and their Redeemer and not by the state. Let me tell you something this morning. Your civil rights, enumerated by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, was not given to you by the founders. Now get this down. They were given to you by God. All they did was acknowledge that you had God-given rights. They neither could give them nor can they take them away. No legislator, no judge has a right to tell you you can't bear arms because that is a God-given right. He doesn't have the right to disarm you. And if they start trying to disarm you, they at that moment become criminals to their own constitution they swore to uphold. They are now the criminal. That makes a lot of them criminals. Our rights were not given to us by the state. The second thing it is that they're clearly to articulate the limitations of a constitutional government. Our Constitution was given to us, first of all, as I said, to articulate and to declare those God-given rights, but secondly, to put limitations. There are some things the government doesn't have a right to do.
Right.
Thirdly, and this is very important, to distinguish between and set forth the God-given right of two things, personal defense and national defense. Now listen to me carefully. This is why when you're reading your Bible, you want to distinguish, am I reading about an issue of personal defense or am I reading about an issue of national defense? At times, they both come together. Because in a sense, even if it's a national defense, is it not personal? When our soldiers are fighting for our freedom, is it not personal for us? Where is the front line going to be? Over there, over here, or is it going to be at the doorstep of my house? Then fourthly, it's a reflection of the God-ordained authority about what this issue. Now listen to me careful. It's concerning life and property. The Second Amendment has to do with a bigger issue than just whether you can own a gun or not. It has a bigger issue just about arms or not. And the source of our Second Amendment is right here in this book. And I've been reading some of those passages to you. This book is the final authority, not even our Constitution, not even our Bill of Rights. It's this book that determines that guided those men to put these principles into that document. This is why there's an attack on the Bible. They want to attack the authority of this book. Because if you can get this book to where nobody thinks, well, God can't even keep it straight, you've undermined the authority of God's Word. And it's the authority of God's Word that gives us that right. But the deeper principle of the Second Amendment is this. Now, I want you to listen tightly this morning because God rattled my cage with this. The deeper principle of the Second Amendment is life itself. It is life itself. Now think about this. The Bible teaches that there is value to human life. The Bible teaches there's value to the source of human life. There is value, the sacredness of life. It's the source of life, the sacredness of life, and the value of life. This Bible is the book in the world that tells you that human life is valuable. Human life is valuable. Genesis 1:26. If you can get there, fellas, Genesis chapter 1. Look, I want you to look at this. God said, let us make man in what? Our own image. Now, I want to tell you something this morning. The issue about the Second Amendment is life. It's about life. We were made in the image of God. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, creeping thing. So verse 27, God created man in his own image. That is a brain exploding thought that you and I were created in the image of God. I want you to keep that in mind. The Second Amendment is also rooted in the biblical truth of this. Now listen to me carefully. This is where they miss it. The Second Amendment is rooted in the biblical truth of the fall of man. Man fell in the Garden of Eden into sin, fell away from God. Then the curse came on, thorns and death and sorrow and all that. And then the doctrine of total depravity. Here's what their Christian forefathers knew, that man experienced the fall. He was separated from God. He has a sinful nature. The heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? And they knew that I don't have a spark of nice goodness waiting for the right environment to fan it to flames. They knew that you and I, apart from the grace of God, the Spirit of God, and the truth of God, or the restraining hand of power, will kill people, rob from people, spit on people, damage people, if there's not some type of a restraining power. Watch it. Cain killed Abel, the first two brothers. One of them killed one of the other. Now, let me just say something to you. Unless you understand the biblical doctrine of the fall, the curse, and the total depravity of man, you will not understand the need for a Second Amendment. You will think like the liberals do that everybody's good if they just had the right environment. That's not true. Man is wicked. How many of you in here besides me has had some pretty wicked thoughts? How many thought about doing something that if you knew, really and honestly, the only reason you didn't do it is because you probably wind up in prison. Let me tell you something this morning. We have so far departed from the Bible that we tend to think, see, this is where all this works salvation is, works religion's at. Oh, man basically is good. Man is not basically good. Man is wicked. He's sorry. He's sinful. He'll do anything. These men knew that. They understood that God said, man, the heart of man is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. And so he's going to need a means of personal defense and protection. Why? Because all across this sin-cursed world, I'm going to tell you something. What will a coyote do with a rabbit in the middle of the field? Will it sit down and say, hey, it's pretty, sun's out nice today, isn't it? What will a coyote do with a rabbit? He will kill it in a New York heartbeat. I have never seen a coyote say to a rabbit, "How are you today, Mr. Rabbit?" Why is that? Tell me, why is that? The fall, the curse. Hey, why don't you take off and go in East St. Louis tonight about 2 o'clock in the morning? Take a stroll down the street. Why? Why don't you go to Chicago in the gangland area where they had 40 shootings last week in a gun-free, supposedly one of the most tight-restricted gun areas in the world, Chicago, Illinois. They had 40. Who's got guns in the gun-free zone? You know what's stupid? To even have to preach on this. It's so reprobate that we have to preach on it now. And so they understood that man is a fallen creature, that he's under the curse, that he'll kill each other. Why did God have to say, "Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet"? Why did God have to say that? We're fallen, sin-cursed creatures living in that kind of world. So man will commit crimes and violence against each other. The Second Amendment is also rooted in this, and I want you to get this one if you don't get anything else. The Second Amendment was rooted in the biblical knowledge that those men had of the doctrine of love. Now let me preach something to you today. Your Second Amendment that you have as an American is rooted in the doctrine of God's love. Amen. How can you claim to love your spouse if you will not protect her? Amen. How can you claim to love your children if you will not protect them? Amen. You don't. Let me prove this biblically to you. Christ loved the church, his spouse, and gave himself for it. He laid down his life. I'm going to get into this later. This whole thing's about the doctrine of salvation. It's tied to the doctrine of salvation. How can you say that you love if a rapist and a thug breaks into your house and you say, "Well, I'm a Christian and I don't believe in bearing arms. Please don't rape my wife. Please don't do that." Is that what you're going to do? Is that what you liberals really believe? Is that what you progressives really believe? That when a rapist and a murderer and a thug breaks into your house, that you're going to, all you congressmen and all you senators and all you judges who are against the Second Amendment, you want to repeal it. Does that what you really believe, that when one of those guys breaks into your house, that you're going to sit there and wring your hands and say, "Please don't do that"? While they strangle your wife and rape her, while they take your kids and cut their throats from ear to ear, when they violate your daughters, you're going to sit there and say, "I'm a Bible-believing Christian. Please don't do that." That is against the nature of Almighty God. You don't love your family. You're a pious hypocrite. You're a pious, self-righteous hypocrite. It is against the law of love. The most reprobate lowlife that I can imagine is one who would not be prepared and willing to defend and protect his family from violence. I can't imagine a guy lower than that. And now we got them all over this country. I preached up there the other night, and a man walked up to me, and I would have never dreamed it. He said, "Reggie, I'm so grateful for this message." He said, I had come to the place where I thought, I really don't need an AK-47 to shoot squirrels with. Maybe they've got a point. It's not about shooting squirrels, folks. Ain't got nothing to do with shooting squirrels. Has nothing to do with any of that. I've seen a few cats in my life, a few dogs with puppies. I'll tell you right now, even a doe deer with nothing but her hooves will fight a coyote trying to get her fawn. Why is it that we're so lower than animals now that we won't even do what a mother in nature would do to protect her own young? And we tell in this world we're going to disarm ourselves and let this bunch take our arms away from us when we have a biblical God-given right to do it? Let me tell you about the doctrine of love. It lays down its life for those it loves. You cannot claim to love your children. I've got some daughter-in-laws. I tell you what, I'd hate to do something to one of their kids. They'd probably just shoot me, and I don't blame them. You know what I'm saying? I can see it in their eyes and their face. Man, they're going to protect those kids. Amen. They're going to be like a grizzly bear, and that's God-given. That's right. Amen. That's God-given. The next reason the Second Amendment is rooted in biblical, it's rooted in biblical responsibility. Biblical responsibility. The Bible said if a man provide not for his own household, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Oh, they say, well, that just means food and shelter. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Where'd you get that? That isn't what that says. That's a broad-based statement that he's to provide the things that they need. They do need protection. They do need shelter. They do need food. But they need protection, too. And God says, if you don't protect your own family, you're worse than an infidel. You've denied the faith. That is a God-given, instinctive thing to do, is provide defense for your family. The Second Amendment's also, as I said a while ago, it's rooted in natural law, the law of self-preservation that's all across in nature. Any government not based upon biblical truth, such as socialism, communism, or any other type of tyrannical government system, does not have a value of human life. Isn't it hypocritical to be concerned about school shootings, but you don't mind butchering a baby in the womb every 90 seconds? That's hypocritical. Now, what that man that jumped up a while ago, his deal is, he says that we're hypocritical. I know what he already believes. He believes we're hypocritical because we want to keep arms, and he's making it out that we're not against school shootings because we want to keep our arms. So we're the hypocrites. On one hand, we don't want abortion, but on the other side, we don't have a problem with school shootings. That's a lie. I don't want school shootings, and if they'd let us do what we need to do, there wouldn't be any school shootings. That's a false narrative. That's a reprobate mind, by the way, turned upside down. And that's a normal liberal line, progressive line to try to twist things. And the Bible said they wrest the scriptures to their own destruction. Now, let me tell you something. I know what I'm talking about, and I'm not being arrogant, but you're not going to blow me over. I know what I'm talking about. They do not have a value of human life. Check their history. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Zedong, all of them to a man butchered their own people. They do socialism, anything but biblically based Christianity, does not have a value for human life. The absence of a correct view and understanding of God, which comes from Scripture, will result in three things. Number one, the devaluing of human life. Secondly, the devaluing of liberty. And thirdly, the taking of personal property. And that's what communism and all that stuff does. So when you're dearmed, we come and get it. We tell you what you can do. The fact is that it will all result in, all of these result in the theft of property and the destruction of life every time. An unbiblical people, which is what America's getting full of now, Canada's already got it, UK's already got it, but we're headed there if we don't stop this thing. An unbiblical people will trade liberty for security. So they're saying, we'll make you secure if you'll just give us your guns. We'll take your liberty, you give us your guns, and then we'll give you security. An unbiblical people will trade freedom for peace. We'll give you peace, but we'll take your freedom. You know what winds up? You have neither. You have neither liberty nor security, and you don't have freedom, and you don't have peace. When a man or any person tells me that they do not support the God-given right to bear arms and defend and protect those under his care, I know something about that person. Number one, they do not value life, because that is going to cause people to get killed. It's proof in our very society right in front of your eyes that you do not see people going after groups of people where they think they're armed. When the guy killed all the guys out here in Phoenix, Arizona, he was shooting people at some kind of a concert, right? He's up there in a big tower. He's shooting down. When the guy walked in the park of the school down there, you know what he knew? There was nobody in there with guns. Every situation, almost to a T, they're pretty sure that they can get by with what they're doing. Second thing is the media is at fault. Just this morning, there's a shooting of two or three people, and the guy said to them he was inspired by Parkland. What that means is this, that they get about 15 minutes of fame on TV, maybe 2 weeks of fame on TV. The little idiot gets his face put on the news, and they go into spasmodic dreams of being somebody, and even if they die, they've died everybody knowing them. They get perverted and reprobated in their mind. So I'll go do that so I can, the media should not even show their stinking face. So I know that if a person is against the Second Amendment, he doesn't value life like God does, because God wants life defended. God wants life protected. Secondly, they do not love their own loved ones. If you loved your loved ones, you'd want to defend and protect them. Thirdly, they're cowards. That's the real truth. And I want to tell you about God Almighty. He said, fear thou not. God's not in the coward business. Let me tell you something. To be a Christian even in this generation, it takes a little guts and backbone. Amen. It takes a little guts and backbone to stand up for God in this generation. And I'll tell you, the Christian business is not a place for cowards. We got old songs that say that, you know, and the cowards, so forth. Fourthly, they forfeited their liberty and freedom. You just want to give it away, all right? Give it away. But you go do that somewhere else. You go down to Venezuela and do that. You like that garbage so good? Go to Venezuela. Go to Cuba. But get out of the United States. Fifthly, they've advanced the cause of crime and criminals. You think people ought to be disarmed? You think the Second Amendment ought to be repealed? What you are is an advancer of crime. So that makes you a partaker of their crime. I'm saying this straight gun barrel into that camera and to this congregation. If you're against the Second Amendment, you are guilty of crimes. You want people killed. You want innocent people defenseless so people can break into their homes or pull them over the side of the road and rob them, steal from them. You've advanced the cause of crime. You've given a license to crime, and your criminals themselves and partners in it. Seventhly, I know this, that their mind is reprobate. They do not know the Bible. They've carved out a religion that they like that suits their little self-righteous world. And eighthly, you are a danger to our country. You are a danger to our freedom. You are a danger to our liberty. The real culprits are not NRA or gun owners of America. It's not the millions of citizens who have shotguns, rifles, AK-47s, and 50 calibers. It's those that promote gun-free zones, those who teach evolution. Teaching evolution has caused more deaths than anything I know, because man is nothing but an animal killing. There's no judge, there's no creator, no God. The people that are teaching evolution in this country are guilty of the crimes that's being committed in this nation. The promotion of lawlessness, like the Antifa groups. By the way, the parties in America who are throwing the Constitution off and saying it can be interpreted, it's a flexible document, those people are guilty of lawlessness. And those judges and those court systems that do not punish criminals. Let me tell you something, I hate it bad. But I'm going to tell you right now, Wright County needs to be cleaned up from its drug sludge. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something, in Wright County, if we would catch the drug peddlers who's selling drugs to our kids, and I don't know who they are, but I tell you, we need electing a sheriff, and we need to get some, and we need a militia that's behind the sheriff. Amen. To go and find these jerks that's selling our kids these drugs. Yeah. They need to be arrested. And if I'm telling you what, we need laws that hang those guys. Yeah. We need laws that hang them. And let me tell you something about the drug pushers and the peddlers and the drug consumers. If they had to watch on TV or be made to go out and watch a public hanging, and don't put the mask over the guy's head and don't tie his legs together. And had to watch that, watch his eyeballs pop out of his head, watch his tongue go out about 15 inches, watch his legs do that for about 15 minutes, you're not going to want to sell drugs next week. You lock out a lump, and I'm telling you the truth this morning. You got guts or heart enough to believe it. You better get in gear, buddy, because I'm going to tell you, say, well, it ain't bother me. Your grandchildren will be under a Stalin if it's not done, taken care of. The scriptures this morning, Exodus, take me to Exodus 22:2, guys, if you will. I'll show you basis. Look here. This is law, God's law. If a thief be found breaking up and be smitten that he die, there should be no blood shed for him. Kill him and don't kill him, bury him, get on down the road. Nobody's at fault. That means you got to, that's breaking in where to your house. That means that you as an individual, somebody breaks into your house, you have a right to kill that person and you're innocent. Amen. That's your Bible. Give us Leviticus chapter 6 if you can. And the Lord spake to Moses saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie on his neighbor, that which was delivered him to keep in fellowship, thing taken away by violence, there it is, or that deceiveth his neighbor, or have found that which lost in life concerning swear to fall to any of these men, that man doth sinneth therein. God said that's a sin to do violence against people, among other things. Give us the next one. I don't know. I can't even think. Exodus chapter 3. Do you have that? I want to show you one. Do you have Exodus chapter 3, 16 through 20? If you've got it. Oh, boy, this is good. No, that ain't the one I'm wanting. Exodus chapter 3. I gave you the wrong one. Let me find it. I want to show you something in this Bible. It'll be a blessing to you. If I can get there. And if I can't get there, I'll just tell you the story. It's Exodus 2, fellas. I'm sorry. So don't worry about it. I'll just read it. The Bible said, Exodus 2 is where Moses had fled from Egypt after he killed the guy down there, right? And he fled into the wilderness. The Bible says that he came up there, and verse number 15, it says, at verse number 6, he's went up there by Midian, and he's set down by a well. Now watch this. Watch this carefully. I want to talk to the men of this church for a minute about something. This old hillbilly is getting really, really tired of seeing our women and our daughters have to endure talk and actions and mannerisms that a woman ought not have to listen to, much less a man. Now, I want you to listen to what Moses did here. Now, the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they drew water, and they filled the troughs to water their father's flocks. Now, watch what happens. And the shepherds came and drove them away. Can you imagine? Here's some shepherds. These girls, these 7 girls, draw the water out of the well to water their flocks, and these 7 jerks, these American thugs, these little punk boys, they came and they drove them girls off and let their sheep take it. Now you tell me how much sorrier low down can a guy get than that? That a woman draws the water, the 7 girls draw the water and they drive their sheep off and say, we're going to make you girls drop it. Our sheep's going to drink the water. That's what's wrong in America right now. Men won't stand up. Fathers won't stand up. People cuss in front of your wife. Say nasty things, vile talk. Half the fault is the women themselves because they put up with it. Women are sinners too. But look what Moses did. Verse 17, the shepherds came and drove the way, but Moses stood up and helped them. You know something I know about Moses? He had a little low stick in his hand. He had a little rod. God said, what's that in your hands? A rod. How'd Moses drive him away? said shepherds, plural. That tells me there were several, there were more than one, right? My guess is probably several. And one man said, you ain't treating these girls like that. We need to get back to that. I'm going to tell you something about, oh, Moses, man, the Bible. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Moses didn't believe in being a nice little wimp. Moses didn't sit over and say, well, I don't want to have a problem with them guys. I guess I'll let them treat them girls like dirt, like trash. It's all over this country. It makes me sick. Women are cussed in front of, talked about stuff they should never have to hear, and people won't make anything. I remember a time when if you would have said certain words around a woman, a man would have knocked your teeth down your throat. Boom! Don't you talk like that in front of my wife. You know why? Because they loved them. They respected them, and they honored them as God said that a husband's to honor his wife as the weaker vessel. Moses drove those shepherds away, and he helped them girls get to water. Now, somebody said, Reggie, he had a false motive. One of them was Purdy. He's looking for a wife. I don't know. I know one thing. He drove them off. He stood up for them. You read your Bible. He stood up for them. Judges 3:16. I don't know if you've got that or not. But Ehud, he had a dagger all by himself. Went and took care of a guy. I don't know if it's up to Ehud made him a dagger, which had two. You mean the government didn't issue that to him? Then I like old Shamgar. I don't think you've got this. I don't think you got Shamgar. Anybody know the story about Shamgar in the book of Judges? Guess what? You know what I know about him? He was an ox plower. And you know what he had for a weapon? Was an ox goad. You know what an ox goad was? It was a stick with a point on the end of it. And the deal was, you was behind the oxen. They wanted to stop. You went like that, poked the oxen with the ox goad and get them going again. Guess what he did one day? He ran into a batch of Philistines, just a few of them, 600. He killed 600 Philistines with his ox goad. They should have confiscated ox goads. If we was in America, they'd say confiscate all ox goads. I don't know why we don't confiscate these games where people shoot each other on games. I don't know why they aren't confiscating video games. But anyway, go to Luke 11:22, if you can. Then he said unto them, Jesus talking here. Oh, there it is. But when a stronger man than he shall come upon him and overtaketh him, he taketh him all his armor wherein he trusted and divided his spoils. What happened to him? Do you see this line right here? Hey, pay attention. He taketh from him all his armor. Then what happened? His spoils, his most precious possessions and people were spoiled. When a stronger, the thief or the robber or the criminal, shall come upon him and overcome him, he taketh from him all his what? What does that tell you from your Bible? That any person who's trying to take your arms is trying to overcome you. And they're going to spoil you. Song of Solomon, chapter 3, verse 7 and 8. Behold, what's this? Behold his bed, which is Solomon's. 80 valiant men. Now here's a militia, or it could be a standing army. Valiant men are about it, of the valiant of Israel's. They all hold swords, being expert in war. Every man hath his sword upon his thigh because of the fear in the night. That means you need to have a gun laying by your bed at night. Psalms 149, 5 and 9. Psalms 149, 5 through 9. If you can get there. We'll get these scriptures. They'll have them here in just a minute. No. No. That's right. Amen. Did we finally get that, guys? If you didn't, that's okay. Somebody says, Jesus. Oh, you got it? What's this passage? This is wonderful. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praise of God be in their mouth and the two-edged sword in their hand. Really? To execute vengeance upon who? And punishments upon the people. Watch it. To bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. You know what God told him? He said, listen, he said, you get armed and you get trained and you get equipped because I want you to whip up on the heathen. He said, I want you to bind their kings with chains and their nobles to execute upon them the judgment written. This is the honor of all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. I'm telling you, it's something else. Luke 22:36, if you've got that, I don't know for sure if you do or not. I hope you do. We can get that. Anyway, go ahead. And he said unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it. Likewise, a scrip, and he hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. That's the counter scripture to where they all talk about Peter, put up your sword, because they that live by the sword die by the sword. This is the counter. This is afterward. Jesus told him before he left this world, he that hath a purse, let him take it. He said, a scrip, and he that hath no sword, he said, if you ain't got a sword, sell your garment and buy one. Now that's a pretty powerful statement. Jesus said, you don't have a gun, sell you a coat, sell you a pair of boots, and buy you a gun. Well, I don't think that's what it meant. Well, what do you mean then? What do you mean then? Now I'm going to give you something. Our pacifist Jesus, our little hippie, effeminate Jesus in our pictures. He went to church one day. He went to worship. And he walked into worship and he saw something going on that wasn't right. They were stealing. And the way they were stealing was they were selling people overpriced sheep and stuff to sacrifice. And you know what our Jesus did? Now, you think this church service is rough this morning? We didn't do anything. Jesus braided a rope, right? A scourge. Guess what he did with it? Can you imagine if Jesus came to church this morning? Can you imagine being in a worship service where Christ takes a whip and drives people out of the service? You say, oh, that's just your little childhood deal. No, that really happened. He took a scourge and began to whip people with it. Turn their tables over. Whipped them with it. Get out of here. Oh, we're having church now, amen. And some of you thought what went on a while ago when I said, get that man out of here, you thought I was wrong. No, I wasn't wrong. I'm exactly on target. I want to tell you what this world can't stand. All they want is a bunch of wimp preachers who won't say nothing. That's what they really want. They want a bunch of cowards. Now let's look at some opposing scripture. Somebody says, read your first murder in scripture was Cain and Abel, and Abel didn't resist him. You don't know that. You don't know that. The Bible didn't say that Abel didn't resist him. It says that Cain rose up and smote his brother. You know what I think? I think Cain's just like the rest of them. I think he's a stinking coward. I think he came up, if I'm going to guess he came up behind him unawares with a big old rock and hit him in the back of the head. That's what I think. That'd be more like it, because he was a whiner and a complainer anyway. A little coward. But nowhere does it say or imply any kind of idea that Abel was a pacifist. Matthew chapter 26, 52, if you've got that, guys, I want to show you something about this. Oh, you're there. Jesus, this is after Peter, bless his heart, missed. You all do know Peter missed, right? He was aiming for the watermelon. He caught the ear. It's the truth. You can't make me think he was swinging for his ear. If he was, he's pretty sharp. But watch what. Now, somebody says, well, that Jesus said, put that thing up. You don't use arms. Listen to what Jesus said. Put up again thy sword into his place. He didn't say to Peter, turn your sword into the Roman government. He said, Peter, put that thing back into its place. This is not the time or the situation or the occurrence for a need of that. I am fulfilling my Father's will. But if you listen to all the people that like to pervert that, they'll make you think that basically that their application to that, to the Second Amendment, is, Peter, turn your sword into the Roman government. It's not what he told him. And you better not add to the Bible. Y'all realize it's a little tough preaching today. We all have a little bit of mercy on me. It's a little bit tough. There's a deeper truth to everything about this gun thing. Let me tell you why. If America does not turn back to God, we probably will lose our Second Amendment. Because God says, because of the transgressions of the land, many of the princes thereof. We're not going to lose our guns because of the progressives and liberals. We're going to lose our guns because our country's not righteous. God's going to judge us that way. As people reject God and his grace, then God takes away their freedoms. We're now being told, and I want you to listen, we're now being told by the liberals and progressives, the reprobates, and even some police, and especially by the media, and especially by our educators now, that we should not resist violence, but just let them have what you want. In other words, wife, if you're going to Springfield today and some guy walks up and says he wants your purse, just hand it to him, honey. Don't argue with him. Don't fuss with him. Just give it to him. We're telling everybody, don't resist. Don't. They come in your house to rob you. Just say, take what you want. Just don't hurt us. That's wrong. That's as wrong as it can possibly be. So, husband, according to the liberals, the guy comes in your house. He breaks in. You're just supposed to let him have your wife. You're just supposed to let him have your daughter, your sons, yourself, your property, whatever. You're just supposed to condescend to him and obey him because he rules over you. Is that right? We're told now to use non-lethal means. We're supposed to blow our whistles and spray our mace. Do you know how much that scares the average criminal who's willing to break into your house while you're there? That's an invitation. That really scares a rapist, doesn't it? But you know what scares a rapist? Is a 9mm pointed at his eyeballs. I know a boy who was coming out here one time who's paralyzed, Andy Simpson. He was on his way out here to preach. He's on some interstate down here, and a bunch of guys got a carload of boys got to going in front of him back and forth, and just like they were going to rob him or do something, kind of run him off the road. They pulled up beside him and they started giving him all this threat and stuff and everything. You know what he did? He pulled that 9M out of his pocket and just stuck it just like that right there. That was the end of all that stuff. That's the end of it. They didn't have, one more, listen about thugs. They have no idea that guy is a he can't walk. You know what a gun is? It's a great equalizer. And I'll show you. Goliath is how tall? Almost basketball height. He is a giant. Nobody wants to fight him. But David comes down with a sling. And that sling was the equalizer. Now there's a lesson here. Let me listen to me. All ground is level at the cross. The cross is the great equalizer. Everybody has to come there to get saved. Don't care how rich you are, poor you are. Don't matter what color you are. Don't matter what you got, ain't got, who you are. Y'all, God is showing us something, that there needs to be an equalizer. In fact, it's more than an equalizer. What did David do? He killed Goliath with that projectile. We're told that we're not supposed to use lethal means anymore to protect our families. The criminal can now, let me show you where we're at in America with it. The criminal basic element in America now basically is saying this: if you will give me what I want, I won't hurt you. They're setting the terms, not us. They're saying, if you give me what you want, if you let me rape you, I won't kill you. Yeah, they're lying about that. If you give me your money, I'll be nice and won't kill you. What a deal I have for you. That's the mentality of America now. That's this teaching that's coming out of our schools. I'm going to tell you something. You know all these kids marching in the street and all this stuff, you know where it's coming from? Folks, they didn't come up with that on their own. They're being taught that in their classes. They're being taught this junk in their classes. Crime is an act of enslavement. Let me show you how. When I was a boy, we didn't lock our doors. Screen door open. Wind blow it. Plop, 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 plop. Now, dead boats everywhere, cameras. We're slaves in our own house. We're captives in our own homes. Now we can't come to church, not even think about taking a gun with us. Now we got cameras. We got men having to stay by the doors, have to have men armed in church. We've become slaves because we've bought into the mentality that, and we've quit punishing crime. I was in Ohio a week before last preacher revival meeting. About the third day of the meeting, the pastor and his wife and his dad and his wife, whom we were staying with, all got in Karen and I's rig, and we were going to go eat sandwiches at an Amish place, really neat place. Get a sandwich. So we're driving down the road. Well, when I went to Ohio with my wife, I had a 30-30 lever action laying in the back seat, right underneath the seat. And I had a pistol here and a pistol there. Okay? Don't know where I'm going. Don't know where I got to go through. Don't know what might happen. I just want to be plenty. The pastor's mother said to me, we're going down the road a little way. She says to me, and Karen, straighten me out if I get this wrong. Pastor's mother says, Brother Reggie, yeah. Do you know you've got a rifle back here in the back? Yeah. Is it loaded? I said, it wouldn't be any good if it wasn't. I said, yeah, it's loaded. Don't hit it with your foot and cock it. It might fire. But what got me was this. They all told me, Karen, tell me if I'm wrong. You get picked up in Ohio like this, they'll put you in jail. You cannot have this in your car. I said, what? I said, really? That's how bad Ohio's got. And that's a conservative, quote, supposedly a conservative state. Brother Dennis, I was breaking the law in Ohio because I had a loaded rifle in my truck. That's craziness. I want to ask you a question. How long does it take the police to get to your house if you have a robbery or break-in and you're able to call them? Just okay. I mean, do you think a criminal might have time to kill you, rob you before they get there? Strong possibility. Look at this. You read the statistics on that, it'll shock the daylights out of you. So I want you to consider, I want you to listen to an excerpt from a sermon in 1747 from the pulpits of America, before your Bill of Rights and stuff was written. Here's how they preached. This is a quote. He that suffereth his life to be taken from him by one that hath no authority for that purpose, when he might have preserved it by self-defense, incurs the guilt of self-murder. Since God hath enjoined him to seek the continuance of his life, and nature itself teaches every creature to defend itself. You know what he's saying? If you don't defend yourself, you're guilty of self-murder. You're guilty of advancing crime. I want you to consider this morning. Consider God and Satan. Christ came to give us life. And what did he say? Life more abundantly, right? Christ said, I came to give you eternal life, everlasting life. Everything you read about God is giving you life. Okay? But what has Satan come to do? To steal, to kill, and destroy. So what you have on one side is life. On the other side, you have murder. God is a God of life. Satan is the murderer. He's the criminal. He's the one who wants to break in and steal and kill. Satan seeks to deny the gift of eternal life. He is called a murderer in the Bible. And let me tell you, those of you listening not saved, for you to die lost, and don't take this as work salvation because it's not, But for you to die lost is to allow your spiritual murder by Satan when you could have defended yourself with salvation in Jesus Christ. You see, you're letting Satan murder you spiritually when you could have pulled out the sword of the Spirit, been saved, and defended yourself and defended your posterity by giving them the gospel so they don't have to get murdered by the devil. Does that make sense? See, it's a picture of salvation. Opposition to the Second Amendment or perverted status view, number one, is ignorance and it's inexcusable. Or it's cowardice, which is inexcusable. Or thirdly, you are selling your posterity into slavery, I promise you. We're seeing the rape of the dignity and value of God-given human life. I'm telling you something, God is a God of life. He said, I created you in my image, and life is valuable, and I'm a God of life, and I'm against murder, and I'm against killing, and he said, don't you let them people get by with that. I'm against those that would take life. I want to tell you something. The police were never designed to be your personal bodyguard. Is that right, Paul? You can't be, when you're a police, you policeman, you can't be a bodyguard to everybody. At the very best, police are a deterrent to crime. Our founding fathers knew that. In fact, if you study American history closely, we didn't have much in the way of police forces in our nation for a long time. And here's why. Everybody was armed and everybody was expected to take action against a criminal. The loss of the truth, of the depravity of man, the wickedness, the sinfulness and evilness of the heart of man has been replaced in humanism by our little gods of sparks of goodness in us. It has caused an environment in which nobody is responsible for any of their conduct and actions. And now, lawful, law-abiding, freedom-loving, and defending Americans are being made out to be the criminals, and that happened right here in this church this morning. I was being made out to be the criminal because I preached that the Second Amendment is biblical and you have a right to bear it. So now they're taking and making us out to be the criminals instead of the criminals being the criminals. And I say 1,000 times no. It is that liberal mentality which is causing the death of people in America. A firearm, as I said, is a great equalizer. David versus Goliath. You give me one man in a gang, like I said, Andy Simpson, one man against a car full of thugs. That gun was an equalizer. God says you protect your life. A woman against a rapist. A girl against an abductor. I'm telling you right now, every woman in this church ought to be trained. You ought to know how to shoot a gun. Every man in here needs to know how to shoot a gun. And I'm telling you, pray God you never have to use it. I don't know of a Christian law-abiding citizen who's just waiting to shoot somebody. That's ludicrous. That's crazy. It is not us. It's not the church. It's not Christians. It's not the NRA. It's the godless society of America that's going around killing people. American gun owners are not the problem. It's the godless liberals. And I want to say something just as squarely as I can say it today. This liberal bunch, this here progressive bunch, they are the enemies of God. They're the enemies of the Bible. They're the enemies of truth. They're the enemies of righteousness. They're the enemies of the Constitution. They're the enemy of liberty. And they must be defeated in this country. Somebody is going to win this fight. And it has to be us. It has to be us. We're not evolutionary animals. And then let me say further, I wonder why they don't go on such a crusade against drugs and liquor. How many people have been killed under the influence of alcohol? They are hypocrites because when they go out, they want to be guarded. This Hollywood crowd right now is going out making all their speeches against the Second Amendment, and nearly every one of them have armed guards with them. What a hypocrisy. The Declaration of Independence, the main purpose of the court is to declare that it's God-given rights and no man can take it away from you. Let me say something to you. The Second Amendment was to protect people from a tyrannical government. Our Constitution says it is their right and their duty to throw off such a government. How are you going to throw off such a government? With feathers? No, they knew with arms. The Second Amendment, that amendment defines itself. It does not need a law clerk or a graduate of some law school to define it. This Constitution was written for a common man. And it teaches us that it says the right of the people. It talks about a well-regulated militia being needed. Now, let me tell you something. If you'll go back and study those men's writings, you'll find out that by militia, they meant an armed populace who is ready to defend that community or that nation or that political entity, and if need be, against its own standing army. They came from Europe. They came from England, where standing armies took away their freedom, and they had a great sense of that, and they said, well, our populace has to be armed to prevent that. They looked back in history and said, no culture where the people were armed were ever conquered by a standing army. It is standing armies. Let me tell you something. I'm all for the I'm all for the army. I'm all for the police. But I'm telling you something. They take an oath to uphold the Constitution, but they also swear to obedience to their officers. And a president is the commanding officer. And if you get a president who commands them, most of them are geared to do what they said. If that means take your arms, they'll do it. And so what you have is a militia in opposition to a standing army. And that's why it was followed with a comma and the right of the people to bear. Now watch it. The right of the people to bear arms shall not be infringed. Concealed carry is unconstitutional. You do not need a concealed carry permit to carry arms in this nation. You have a constitution that gives you the right to bear arms right here. Now, either you believe this constitution as the supreme law of the land or you don't. But it tells you that you have people have the right to bear arms and it shall not be infringed. Concealed carry is an infringement. Arms. Now, the word arms. Why did they put the word arms in the Second Amendment? Arms is a weapons term. It is not talking about squirrel guns. By the way, I love it. Boy, thank God for those old men. Those old terrible white men. They said arms. Now, let me tell you what that means. You have a right to have a bazooka, a tank, a 50 caliber. It doesn't matter. There's no definition of arms in there. You say, well, I don't believe that. So you don't believe the Constitution. Hey, I've got it on my side. It didn't say AKs, didn't say ARs, except ARs and AKs or multiple rounds or bump stocks. That's all nonsense. That's all a gradual push to disarm this country. Arms is a military word, weapons of warfare. Arms, there's no slide scale, no further definition. There's no restriction in this Constitution for you having a fully automatic machine gun. It's truth. I wonder how many lies we've believed. I wonder how much of this garbage we've really swallowed and didn't even know we swallowed it. There's no mention of caliber size, round size, capacity size. It says that there shall not be infringed. Freedom and liberty are not gifts of the state or the legislature or a judge. They're a gift of God. The whole issue of the Bible is this. And God says it's in your natural world as well as the spiritual world. Satan wants to disarm people spiritually so he can steal, kill, and destroy. That's what the spiritual weapon is right here. What's going on in this country? Now you listen to this preacher. As America has handed over its arms spiritually, they're going to have their arms physically taken away from them. Because they're both ordained of God. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. Have you been disarmed? Some of you, if I came to your house and told you, give me all your guns, you'd say, you ain't doing that, Reggie. But Satan has disarmed you. You're carrying a false Bible around. You've got a King James Bible, but you don't read it. You won't use it. You won't live it. A gun is not much good back in some closet under 42 pieces of junk unloaded. This book has to be used. We need to be loaded and ready at hand. And there's a correlation between your spiritual arms, and I'm telling you this morning, whether you want to believe me or not, the Second Amendment, which protects all the other freedoms, is rooted and grounded in the Bible that you have in your lap. And your founders knew it, and they articulated it, and they were doing it, did it for such a day as you and I live in today. Let's stand together. I want to thank you for your patience today. Almost, Lord, with a broken heart, we come to you this morning. Praying, dear God, that any damage done to anybody by what happened here this morning would not occur, that you'd protect them and shield them from Satan, damaging them spiritually. Lord, you said the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men. Yet, Lord, we read where Nehemiah stood and men of God stood. And Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to stand, but do it in a good spirit and a good attitude. Forgive us, Lord, of our sins and iniquities, even our sins of ignorance and presumptions. I pray, dear God, that you'll bless these homes and families. We know, Lord, that we could have 1,000 guns in our house unless the Lord keep the house. Amen. The watchman waketh but in vain. We read in our Bibles, Lord, where they not only prepared themselves physically, but they depended upon you. So I ask you, Father, to put the angel of the Lord encamping around about those that fear you. Keep these homes and families safe. Bless them with truth and righteousness and joy and peace. And may they go to their homes today rejoicing in the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Bible, Heavenly Father, for without it we'd have no light, no guide, no nothing.
we'd be drifting, Lord, upon the seas of filth and wretchedness. Lord, we love you today. I hope, oh God, nothing, oh Lord, you know I don't want nothing grieving the Holy Ghost of God. Lord, if there's some lost people here, lost people watching, don't let anything that happened here today keep them from coming to Christ. But God, help us to remember, Lord, that our forebears were burned at the stake for issues such as this. They were tortured and fed to lions, Lord, because they stood by the word of God. Lord, they didn't have the freedom that we have in this country, Heavenly Father. Help us not to give it up. Help us to stand. And having done all, stand. Oh, God, keep us straight. Keep us balanced in Scripture, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. Thank you for your long suffering.